Hyrule Lane, Disc 8.
Chapter 25. Choked and blinded by thick clouds of billowing dust inside the stairwell, Skipper Banjon took a flying leap upward. The tough otter grabbed onto a poor hold in the rough sides of the stone funnel. Buffeted by falling slats of rotted wood, he caught the sounds of wild screams and cries coming from the room above. He drove himself frantically onward, scrabbling and clawing at rocky outcrops and splintered stair ends until he managed to haul himself onto the lopsided landing. Without a second thought for his own safety, Skipper hailed himself at the door, bursting into the room. Grubbing dust from his eyes, he found himself confronted by a fearsome sight. In one corner, Giri had bravely placed himself in front of Abbess Lysian and Sister Snowdrop, shielding them both. The centre of the room was dominated by a huge male gannet, which was shrieking aggressively. As the bird turned to face him, Skipper noted that one of its legs was lame and that the wing on the same side flopped awkwardly. The gannet's bright blue-ringed eyes focused on the newcomer. Throwing back its big cream-capped head, the bird opened its long, sharp beak and gave voice to an ear-splitting scream. Skipper showed no fear, but stood quite still, staring intently at the fierce bird. Calmly, he spoke to his friends.
Stay there, mates. Don't make a move or a sound till I tell you. I ain't got a clue what a gannet's doing up here so far from the sea.
Kikahee!
Pointing its beak at the otter chieftain, the gannet hobbled toward him swiftly. Skipper was forced to dodge backwards, but continued speaking.
I think that bird's been injured and driven in here by a storm. Maybe the same one that brought the osprey to us. Now, I don't want to alarm you, but it's a big gannet and it must be starving. I reckon it'll have to kill to eat soon, so any beast got an idea what to do next?
Giri kept his voice to a low murmur.
I was trying to steer it out of the window until it turned and cornered us. It got in that way, so it must be able to make its way out by the same route.
Skipper chanced a quick glance at the open window with its broken frame and flapping rags of curtaining.
Good idea, young'un, but we need something to help with the job, maybe to use as a shield.
The abbess came up with a swift solution.
Skip, just behind you to the left, there's an old bed against the wall, all broken and battered. I think the bird must have used it to rest on. If we could get behind the bed, it could be useful as a barrier. We may be able to force the bird out of the window with it.
The gannet made a stab at Skipper with his sharp beak, but he dodged to the right, narrowly escaping it.
Boy, that's what we'll do, Marm. I'll decoy this villain to one side. Soon as it moves, you three make a dash for the bed. Right, here goes, mates. Red wall!
Skipper launched himself at the bird, feinted to the right, and thwacked its good leg with a powerful swipe of his rudder. It gave a surprised squawk as it fell in a flurry of feathers. Seizing their chance, Giri, the abbess and Snowdrop raced to the bed. Skipper backed off hastily and joined them. Heaving the cracked old frame of timber and burst mattress upright, they got behind it. Sister Snowdrop yelled exultantly.
Charge, mates! Charge!
Holding the bed in front of them, they bulled straight into the gannet, catching it square on. With its damaged wing flapping loosely and its lame leg not able to gain any purchase, the bird was driven back and bundled through the window in a mad flurry of black-tipped white feathers. It tried clinging to the sill, screaming and hissing, but the abbess and Giri kicked at it until it had to let go.